Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, First Class, March 12th, 2023, Romans.
All right, before we get started, a few announcements. First of all, happy birthday to Sue A to Z. Back here. And her birthday is on Thursday. And so, happy birthday. And we have some announcements and some very important areas of prayer for the congregation. We are having vacation Bible school this year, so we'd appreciate your prayers for that, that the evangelism team will be channels of God's grace, tools in His hand to proclaim the grace gospel clearly and accurately. You can pray that God would open the eyes of people all over southern Nevada to see that we're having this vacation Bible school, and that God would draw by His hand of grace all the children and the adults that are supposed to be here. And with regard to vacation Bible school, for those that signed up to help with craft preparation for vacation Bible school, we will meet briefly in the big classroom next Sunday after the second class. Next Sunday after the second class. Got that? All right. Now, another area that encourage your prayers is we have been invited back out to Indian Springs for Easter to once again present the grace gospel to the people in the Indian Springs community. And so again, pray for the evangelism team that they will be channels of God's grace, tools in His hands to be used by them, that the grace gospel is given clearly and accurately there at Indian Springs, and that God would draw by His hand of grace all the people in that community to be there who are supposed to be there to hear this grace gospel. They have invited us out a couple times each year. It's a grace opportunity. Only God can do these things. And it's actually a local church that's there that's always invited our team to come out and present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, an announcement with regard to that, an email was sent out about the Easter party in Indian Springs, Saturday, April 8th. Please reply if you haven't already done so. This way we will know who will be available to go. So if you could respond to that. Jamie is in charge, but he needs to know who will be available to go out to Indian Springs Saturday, April 8th. Okay? And one other. Now, I know a lot of you like to play Wordle. And now, if you haven't played Wordle today, plug your ears. You like to play Wordle. Well, the word today for Wordle was divinely inspired. Because God knew that from this pulpit we were going to be studying. The word was birth. We're going to be studying the virgin birth. Like, see, God plays Wordle. There you go. He always gets it in one. Romans 5. Turn over in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have graced us out in Client Nation USA with one more day of freedom. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 5, corrected translation of verse 14. Romans 5:14. Nevertheless, spiritual death ruled from Adam to Moses, even over the ones who had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's transgression, that is, Adam's original sin, who, Adam, is a type of the one who was destined to come, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the first Adam was created perfect, and the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, was born perfect. The synonymous parallelism ends right there. The objective of Romans 5, verses 14 to 21, is to emphasize the contrastive parallelism between the first Adam and the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. The first Adam is the head of the fallen race of mankind because spiritual death is derived from his original sin. By contrast, Christ is the head of the redeemed race since he is the source of their redemption. In Romans 5:14 to 21, Paul is contrasting the disobedience of the first Adam and the result of spiritual death with the obedience of the last Adam, salvation work of Christ on the cross, and its result in salvation and justification. The first Adam brought condemnation to the human race. The author of sin is not God, that's blasphemy. The author of sin in the human race is Adam, and in the angelic realm, Satan. The first Adam brought condemnation to the human race, while the last Adam brought salvation to the human race. Both had a free will. The first Adam chose to sin, resulting in spiritual death. The last Adam chose not to sin, resulting in impeccability and therefore qualification to go to the cross and provide salvation. The first Adam is the author of spiritual death, while the last Adam is the author of eternal salvation and justification. Now, neither the first Adam nor the last Adam started out with a sin nature. The first Adam was created perfect with no sin nature. The last Adam was born perfect with no sin nature. Now, we studied the virgin birth briefly when we were back in verse 12, but now we need to study the doctrine of the virgin birth in detail. So, the doctrine of the virgin birth. The greatest miracle that this world has ever seen is the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. The world will never see a miracle greater than the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas. So the doctrine of the virgin birth. First of all, definition. Definition. One, the virgin birth refers to only one birth in all of human history. It is a totally unique birth. The virgin birth refers to only one birth in all of human history. It is a totally unique birth. Two, it refers to the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. It refers to the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. God is one in essence, three in personality, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, eternally existing as the living and true God, and that eternal Son of God took on true humanity on that very first Christmas to fulfill God's plan of salvation, Operation Grace the Cross, and give hope for the entire human race. So it refers to the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. Three, it was a virgin birth, because the pregnancy was accomplished by God the Holy Spirit, totally apart from human copulation and fertilization. It was a virgin birth because the pregnancy was accomplished by God the Holy Spirit, totally apart from human copulation and fertilization. So, point four, the virgin birth means exactly that. No man was involved in procreation resulting in the birth of our Lord. The virgin birth means exactly that. No man was involved in procreation resulting in the birth of our Lord. Five, God the Holy Spirit fertilized the ovum of Mary, and therefore Christ was born apart from human copulation. God the Holy Spirit fertilized the ovum of Mary, therefore Christ was born apart from human copulation. Matthew 1:18-25. Turn over to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew 1, starting at verse 18. Matthew 1:18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph. This is stage, in this time in the ancient world, there were two stages involved in marriage. First of all, the first stage was the contract stage. This is the first stage, or the contract stage. So it says, when his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph. This is the contract stage. Before they came together, she was found to be with child by the agency of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, he is a grace righteous believer, a spiritually mature believer, and not wanting to disgrace Mary in any way, desired to divorce her secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is by the agency of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, from the Hebrew word yasha, to save, to deliver. And you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. He will solve the world's problem of sin by his work on the cross. Verse 22. Now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled. Who is the prophet? Isaiah. Where was it prophesied? Isaiah 7:14. How long ago was that? 700 years before it came to pass. This prophecy was given. Now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 7:14, 700 years before, might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. In the Hebrew, it's Immanuel, two different words. El, the word for the omnipotent God. Immanuel, Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Actually, it means the omnipotent God with us. Verse 24. And Joseph arose from his sleep, and he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Again, he's a spiritually mature believer. And he took her as his wife. This is stage two of the marriage in the ancient world. First was the contract stage, and now the together stage, stage two. And he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So God the Holy Spirit fertilized the ovum of Mary, therefore Christ was born apart from human copulation. Matthew 1:18-25. 6. In this way, Christ came into the world without a sin nature and without Adam's imputed sin. In this way, Christ came into the world without a sin nature, without Adam's imputed sin. Seven. So, the virgin birth resulted in the humanity of Jesus Christ being impeccable, sinless perfection. The virgin birth resulted in the humanity of Jesus Christ being impeccable, sinless perfection. Therefore, point 8, the last Adam, Jesus Christ, was born as the first Adam was created. And who created the first Adam? Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ created the universe, the heavens and the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ, everything has been made, was made by the Lord Jesus Christ. He created the first man. He created all the angelic creatures. He created the first man, Adam. And how did he do that? Well, he started out by making a tent for the first man to live in. He took the soil of the ground, formed it into a body. It was a body. It wasn't a human being. It wasn't a human being until, first of all, the body. The body was all completed. Then after the body was completed, after the tent was made, Jesus Christ made the tent, then he breathed into his nostrils, Neshama, the spark of life. And Adam became a living soul at that time. Not when the body was formed, not when the tent was made. He became a living soul at the point of Neshama, the spark of life, being breathed into him. And then Adam became a living soul. Now, the last Adam is the one who created the first Adam. The last Adam created the first Adam perfect. He was perfect. He was sinless perfection at his creation. The last Adam was born perfect. Point 2, the necessity for the virgin birth. The necessity for the virgin birth. One, the virgin birth was necessary to guarantee the impeccability of the humanity of the Christ. And of course, Christ means the anointed one. Messiah means the anointed one. Messiah in the Hebrew, Christ in the Greek. They're the exact same equivalents. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the anointed one, appointed by God the Father to solve mankind's problem of sin. So the virgin birth was necessary to guarantee the impeccability of the humanity of the Christ. Guarantee the impeccability of the humanity of the Christ. Two, this is because the sin nature is passed down through the human father to the child. Father to child, father to child, father to child. This is because the sin nature is passed down through the human father to the child. Three, the man is the transmitter of the sin nature, not the woman. The man is the transmitter of the sin nature, not the woman, because the man sinned in cognizance. He knew what he was doing, while the woman sinned in ignorance. She was deceived. And 1 Timothy 2:14 makes this very clear. And Adam absolutely was not the one deceived. Adam was not deceived. He knew exactly what he was doing. But the woman was completely deceived. So the man is the transmitter of the sin nature, not the woman, because he sinned in cognizance while she sinned in ignorance. Because the woman was deceived in the fall, the sin nature is passed down through the man in copulation. Four, all members of the human race are born in the status of spiritual death. Because they are born with a sin nature and imputed with Adam's sin. All members of the human race are born in the status of spiritual death because they are born with a sin nature and imputed with Adam's sin. Five. You already got muscle cramp in your hand. Since the sin nature is passed down through the father in copulation, the virgin pregnancy and birth is the only way to become a member of the human race without a sin nature, without the imputation of Adam's sin, without spiritual death. Since the sin nature is passed down through the father in copulation, the virgin pregnancy and birth is the only way to become a member of the human race without a sin nature, without the imputation of Adam's sin, without spiritual death. Six. To be qualified to go to the cross and provide salvation for mankind, Jesus Christ had to be impeccable, sinless perfection. In order to be qualified to go to the cross and provide salvation for mankind, Jesus Christ had to be impeccable, sinless perfection. Jesus Christ had to take on true humanity without a sin nature, without Adam's imputed sin, without spiritual death. Seven, therefore, Jesus Christ had to be born via a virgin pregnancy, or he would have been disqualified to be the Savior. Therefore, Jesus Christ had to be born via a virgin pregnancy, or he would have been disqualified to be the Savior. Eight, no virgin birth means no Savior. No Savior means no salvation. No virgin birth means no Savior. No Savior means no salvation. If there is no virgin birth of the Christ, then none of us have any hope. We have no salvation. Our salvation hinges on the virgin pregnancy and birth of Jesus Christ. Nine. The purpose of the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. The purpose of the incarnation of the eternal Son of God was for him to take on true humanity so that he could go to the cross and solve mankind's problem of sin. The purpose of the incarnation of the eternal Son of God was for him to take on true humanity so that he could go to the cross and solve mankind's problem of sin. The eternal Son of God, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Christ, he had to take on true humanity because deity can't die. Deity can't die, so the eternal Son of God had to become true humanity. But that true humanity had to be impeccable, sinless perfection. Ten. Therefore, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ brought him into the world spiritually alive, physically alive, indwelt and filled with the Holy Spirit from the very moment of physical birth. Therefore, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ brought him into the world spiritually alive, physically alive, indwelt and filled with the Spirit from the very moment of physical birth. He was born in fellowship with God. He was born filled with the Spirit. He had no sin nature, no imputation of Adam's sin, no spiritual death. He was born physically alive, spiritually alive, in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit, and he remained that way the entire 33 years he was on planet Earth. Now, Jesus Christ's life on planet Earth was 33 years. And a lot of you will say, oh, that's too young to die. He was too young to die. Now, God is the one who designs, and the Lord Jesus Christ died in God's perfect plan. He was here 33 years to carry out and accomplish the incarnation plan of the Father. The incarnation plan of the Father was to send his eternal Son from heaven to earth on that first Christmas, take on true humanity, go to a cross, solve the world problem of sin, so that whosoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. He died at the exactly right time. And he never committed one sin. So don't look around and say, oh, he was too young to die. Jesus Christ was 33. He died, buried, resurrected, ascended, seated at the right hand of God the Father. He lived 33 years. Sometimes God keeps believers around for a long time so he can discipline them. Because this is the only place he can do it. Once you get to heaven, no more discipline. So it isn't how many years you live on this earth. God has a perfect plan. And he will take you home at the exact right time. He's already figured it all out. The time, the manner, and the place. And when it comes time for your departure, you're out of your tent, absent from the body, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be with him forever and ever and ever. Eleven. Not only was the Lord Jesus Christ born spiritually alive in sinless perfection, but he also went all the way to the cross in sinless perfection. Not only was the Lord Jesus Christ born spiritually alive in sinless perfection, but then he lived his life on this earth 33 years in sinless perfection. And then he was crucified. And on the cross, he never sinned. He was imputed with the sins of our sins and the sins of the world, and judged for our sins and the sins of the world. But he went there in impeccability, sinless perfection. So that means for 33 years, the Lord Jesus Christ had to live a life totally free from personal sin. The first Adam was tempted and fell. He committed personal sin. But the last Adam was tempted and he did not fall. He remained impeccable, sinless perfection. No one has ever been tempted like the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union. This was a 33-year period of intense pressure and temptation because Satan did everything he could to get the Lord Jesus Christ to sin. But Satan failed, and Jesus Christ arrived at the cross impeccable and remained impeccable while billions and billions of the world's sins were poured out on him and judged. 12. Therefore, when Christ was hanging on the cross, he was the only member of the true humanity who lived his life totally apart from spiritual death. Therefore, when Christ was hanging on the cross, he was the only member of true humanity who lived his life totally apart from spiritual death. Spiritual death would have disqualified Christ, the Messiah, from being the Savior. As goes the virgin birth, so goes your salvation. There is no Savior and there is no salvation if Christ was not born of a virgin. 13. So it is the virgin birth that is the basis for redemption, because it provided the world with a perfect human being, the only one qualified to go to the cross and be judged for the sins of the world. It is the virgin birth that is the basis for redemption, because it provided the world with a perfect human being, the only one qualified to go to a cross and be judged for the sins of the world. That brings us to point 3, the anticipation of the virgin birth. The anticipation of the virgin birth and the coming of the Redeemer. Turn over to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Anticipation of the virgin birth and the coming of the Redeemer. Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse 15. Genesis 3:15. And I will put hostility between you and the woman. Now he's speaking to Satan. I will put hostility between you, Satan, and the woman. Between your seed, that's the seed of Satan, and that includes all unbelievers, and her seed, that is all believers, ultimately culminating in the Lord Jesus Christ. He, Christ, the seed of the woman, will crush your head. The strategic victory of Christ on the cross and the tactical victory of Christ at the second advent. But you, Satan, will crush his heel. That is the referring to the cross at the first advent. So did you get that? We'll go through that again. And I will put hostility between you, Satan, and the woman. Between your seed, the seed of Satan, all unbelievers, and her seed, believers, culminating in the greatest, the Lord Jesus Christ. He, the Christ, the seed of the woman, will crush your head, the strategic victory of the cross and the tactical victory of the second advent. But you, Satan, will crush his heel, and that's the cross. Unto the woman, he also said, I will greatly multiply your pain in your pregnancy. In sorrow you will bear children, yet you will have the strongest desire for your husband. Therefore he shall be the authority over you. All right? Couple of things. One. The historic phase of the angelic conflict includes the seed of Satan versus the seed of the woman. The historic phase of the angelic conflict includes the seed of Satan versus the seed of the woman. Two, the seed of Satan includes all unbelievers living in his kingdom of darkness. The seed of Satan includes all unbelievers living in his kingdom of darkness. Turn over to John chapter 8, Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 44. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and he's speaking to religious leaders in Israel who are unbelievers. They're the so-called experts on the Word of God, on the Old Testament, on the Mosaic Law, and yet they are unbelievers. They have not placed their faith in Jesus Christ. They do not recognize Christ as the Messiah. Instead, they want to kill Jesus Christ. They want to murder him. And so Jesus Christ, addressing these religious leaders, says, "You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks the native language, his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So the seed of Satan includes all unbelievers living in his kingdom of darkness, John 8:44. Three, the seed of the woman includes all believers, but ultimately, it looks at the last Adam, the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. The seed of the woman refers to all believers, but ultimately, it looks at the last Adam, the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Four. Just as the angelic forces are divided into two categories, fallen and elect. Just as the angelic realm is divided into two categories, fallen and elect, so the human race is divided into two categories, based on attitude toward Jesus Christ, believers and unbelievers. So just as the angelic realm is divided into two categories, fallen and elect, so the human race is divided into two categories based on attitude toward Jesus Christ, believers and unbelievers. John chapter 3, verse 36, "Whoever believes in the Son, Jesus Christ, has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." Five. Both the first advent and the second advent of Jesus Christ depend on the doctrines of the virgin birth of Christ. Both the first advent and the second advent of Jesus Christ depend on the doctrine of the virgin birth of Christ. Six, the virgin birth is absolutely necessary for the first advent of Jesus Christ, his incarnation, by which he accomplishes the first victory, the strategic victory of the cross, as well as the second victory is tactical victory at the second advent. So the virgin birth is absolutely necessary for the first advent of Jesus Christ. His incarnation, by which Christ accomplishes two victories in the angelic conflict. 7, the first victory is the strategic victory on the cross, followed by his resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of God the Father in the place of power, authority, and honor. So the first victory is the strategic victory of Jesus Christ on the cross. He's crushed Satan's head, followed by his resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of God the Father in the place of power, authority, and honor. As a result of this strategic victory, the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union, is superior, higher than all angelic creatures. 8. The second victory is at the second advent. When Jesus Christ comes back to this earth at the second advent, by means of which Christ takes over the rulership of the world from Satan. The second victory is at the second advent, by means of which Christ takes over the rulership of the world from Satan. All right. Well, we got a good start on this doctrine of the virgin birth. We'll take a break, give you a few, and then come back for part 2.